Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide. I want to, say and give a big welcome to a friend of many, many decades. Yeah, Joe Crowley, former congressman from Democrat from New York for 20 years, and before that, indeed, he served, as an assemblyman for another 11 years, not quite as long as our co-host of many decades, John Deary. But, Joe Crowley, you are very welcome.
Thank you, Adrian. Always great to be with you.
And I don't want to get too deeply into this, but we met you on a bandstand with the late John O'Neill, and you were a friend of Tommy O'Neill, and John wasn't crazy about having him on the band either, but both of you, you served your time there, and I won't say, what the grade was, but that's how long we know each other. But you love music, and you still do.
That was the first time I had ever played out, really, outside of folk mass.
Joe, we, as congressman and indeed as an assemblyman in New York, over 30 years, you have, I should mention that, you were the fourth highest ranking position in the, among House Democrats as chairman of the, you served the House Democrats leadership for 6 years, and first as vice chair and then chairman of the caucus. What was... before we get into the Northern Ireland and the Irish situation, you had you were getting medals, if medals were to be awarded, the House, the prestigious House Committee on Ways and Means, that again an extraordinarily important, significant, and powerful position. As you look back on that period, can you rattle off some of the areas where you had amazing influence, and what are you proudest of?
I think when it comes to that that period of my life, I think the Affordable Care Act and providing the opportunity for the first time in many people's lives, the opportunity to afford quality health care in the country. We live in the richest country in the world, and a capitalist country, and I support capitalism. I'm not a socialist, never will be a socialist, but at the same time, there was an opportunity for common good and to work within the free markets to provide, really for the first time for many people, that opportunity to have that sense of security for them and their families. And I think that was the biggest piece that I've worked on, the Affordable Care Act.
We have to acknowledge, and when you left the congressional position and went on to make some real money, we were losing not just a very good friend, but we had already, lost a congressman from across the aisle, a Republican, Peter King. And we had to be concerned about who do we have to replace both yourself and Congressman Kim, when it comes to the ongoing and necessary support for the Good Friday Agreement, even though you were involved, and both of you were involved even before the Good Friday Agreement, which, of course, we're now commemorating, celebrating 25 years later.
Yeah, no, just Peter voluntarily left. My circumstances were a little different, but yeah. Still the same. No, I heard you saying, no. Yeah.
The early years leading up to the, you know, Good Friday Agreement, you had, you've been involved, the Crowleys had been involved, for a lifetime in not only paying attention to, but spreading, you know, the reality that whereas, you know, Ireland was a great place and a lovely nostalgic trip to Ireland would be great, but the recognition that something was more than awry in Northern Ireland during the Troubles. You came in, somewhere towards the middle of that. Tell us about your awareness, and secondly, why we relied on very much on you. And, I just mentioned you and Peter King. There were so many, including Richie Neal, who's still there.
Sure.
What was the reception like, you know, for you, and how did you, befriend, fellow congressmen who knew very little about Northern Ireland? How did that progress?
Well, for me personally, Adrian, my mother was born in Armagh, and really from South Armagh. And so two of my grandparents were born and raised there as well, the Murphys and the McKevitts, really literally just on the border of Louth, and right by Steve Gullion. And the experience for me as a boy, my first time to Ireland when I was 10 and visiting in 1972, going up to the north and seeing the British soldiers being stopped at checkpoint and very much aware of what was going on around me at that time. Continue to have an awareness, obviously, with my Uncle Walter having been in politics. My father was involved and was the president of the AOH for Queens County for a period. And, I was kind of steeped in the music and the history of all that growing up. And so I had a personal interest in that. And when I came to the State Assembly meeting John Deary and Dick Kane, you remember those folks back in the day from Buffalo? And found myself, where I could have some impact in terms of bringing some attention to what would seem to be an intractable issue in the north of Ireland in terms of the violence that was taking place. In many respects, the disadvantaged position that the Catholic and nationalist people within that community were dealing with at that time. In terms of, the being in Congress, I mean, people were aware, certainly, but not to the degree that maybe I was. And I think that's part of, what Congress ought to be about is when you meet people and you get to know them, what makes them move and shake. I think generally, people genuinely want to get to know their colleagues, normally speaking. That's how things get done. And so I think a part of my persona and who I was always identified but being an American-Irish congressman and person, I didn't limit myself to the Irish issues at all by any stretch of the imagination, and was involved in a number of issues both in India and other parts of the world as well, and Bangladesh. I think what led me to those issues in a certain way was my experience in terms of Ireland itself and in the North in particular.
My guest, the former Congressman Joe Crowley, whose not only involvement but in the leadership position, particularly in Washington, in the lead up to and obviously during the Good Friday Agreement, which we're celebrating and commemorating this week, next week. Joel, just wanted to ask you about I don't think it'd be a good idea to talk about partisan issues in today's environment. But then, were there, and how did you, as a leader of Friends of Ireland, in Congress, there were some very non-Irish names, and many who you converted who didn't have a drop of Irish blood at all. What was their purpose in joining, the effort to make that to correct that?
Well, I think that it was an issue that I think many people paid attention to, just because it was incongruent in many respects to have a country like Ireland have the issues that it was dealing with. It was almost medieval in some respects, in terms of the differences that were existing. And so I think people were interested in it from that perspective. And at the same time, I think, it's always, as I said before, in order to, have empathy or sympathy for some other part of the world, which may have the interest of a particular member of Congress, they need to, kind of relate to you in some respects. So I think that sometimes would be a reason for their involvement. It was also, Adrian, something that was keep the politics out of Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
The Irish issue itself. And I think that generally worked. If anyone tried to exploit it for political purposes, they got a pretty sharp rebuke from myself or from Peter King or Richie mm-hmm. or others. This really was done, Jim Walsh, quality people that were involved on both sides of the aisle that wanted to see justice and peace and reconciliation on the entire island of Ireland, but particularly in the north.
Joe Crowley, there was a, again, thanks to media coverage, there was a feeling that perhaps the American support for a resolution in Northern Ireland was actually very one-sided. And, of course, the stories that we read, and with radio and television, that in fact, this was kind of an insurrection in America that might be interpreted by some as saying, wait a minute, this is kind of a very one-sided, lopsided a group of Americans who are just taking one side. They're not really that interested in the resolution, because taking our songs and a lot of our songs anyway glorify survival of Ireland through many wars, for over, 800 years. Was that, did you find that a lot of people maybe pull back from them and say, no, there's too much, agita involved with the group of Americans who seem like they might be adding fuel to the fire?
Well, Adrian, I think that what this really goes back to was the presidential election of 1992 that you were very much a part of, and John Deary holding the American-Irish Presidential Forum, where then Bill Clinton agreed to, if elected, to give Jerry Adams a visa. In many respects, I think that was the beginning of the notion of what was happening.
Your evaluation of the what appears to be the intransigence of the DUP, the Northern Ireland unionist community, it would appear that they, instead of finding a resolution and abiding by the Good Friday Agreement, it looks like they would even squander that opportunity just to dig their heels in. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I think that Joe Biden is trying to play a fair arbiter here. I think he was going over to the north of Ireland with no pretense, with no agenda, but to further the peace that he helped, along with then Bill Clinton, establish through the Good Friday Accords and with George Mitchell and others. And, I think it's unfortunate because I think there is such a nostalgia for the president, for Ireland, and both the North and the South, that I think it was genuine that the president wants to maintain that peace and to see progress take place there. Adrian, we all know that the DUP was not in power when the agreement was made. They have not really been strong supporters of the agreement. They were more reluctant. It was the Ulster Unionist Party that really brought about that historic agreement, and they've now become a much lesser party in the north of Ireland. And much of this has also been driven by the Brexit issue itself, and
right.
Where we find that issue really, I think, in many respects, kind of taking over in terms of the identity of many within the unionist circles.
We were very hopeful. I think most people of goodwill were very hopeful that this presidential trip might indeed be the hinged to bring age-old conflict in Northern Ireland, together. And I think that remains to be seen, because in the, as we watch the tremendous support and reception that President Joe Biden is getting throughout Ireland, I think, and I'm sure you agree that, this trip was not in vain. As a matter of fact, should be very, very helpful towards finding a resolution.
Yeah, I do think that no one trip is a panacea, but that I think it does demonstrate the commitment that the president had, along with Richie Neal, as a chair of the Ways and Means Committee. Former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi was very strong on this issue. I think Kevin McCarthy, too, is finding his roots, so to speak, in his own connectivity to Ireland. I know that is something that he has tried to work with the president to establish as well, their shared Irish heritage. Adrian, I do think that there's work to be done still. There's no question. As far as we've come, and we should not give short shrift to peace at all. There's a generation now that has only known peace, and that's a good thing for Ireland. But there's still work to be done. All parties need to be engaged in that, parties of goodwill, to see that through.
Joe Crowley, thank you for joining us today. We know that for those who have been waiting for such a long time and looking forward to the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, we hope that some of our, if not all of our aspirations, indeed will be paid off, aided, of course, by the President of the United States, Joe Biden. Our good friend, friends, a seasoned 30-year politician, Joe Crowley, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Adrian.
And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USAIrishRadio.com, worldwide.